Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, September 5, 2023, Romans.
All right, one announcement before we get started. Teachers meeting after class, after communion. After communion, teachers meeting today. And happy birthday to Trudy. I went back and gave her this $1 million gift for her. And I said, gee, you still look like you're 16. She says, I don't want to be 16. So happy birthday to Trudy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. The great chapter on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, unique to the church age that we are living in, making us totally unique from any believer throughout human history. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 6. Let's start out, corrected translation, at verse 1. Therefore, what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, baptism of the Spirit, and retroactive positional truth, how can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death? Retroactive positional truth. Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death. Retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that, just as Christ was raised out from the dead, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, so also we, the royal family of God, might live in newness of life. Verse 5. If we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. That's through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Now that brought us to verses 6 through 8, where we have the implications of positional truth. In verses 6 and 7, the implications of retroactive positional truth. In verse 8, the implications of current positional truth. Romans 6, 6 through 8 sounds like this. And keep on knowing this, that our old man, the old sin nature, has been crucified together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, for two purposes. Purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. Purpose number two of retroactive positional truth, so that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. For the one who has died, retroactive positional truth, has been freed from the power of the sin nature. And then verse 8, the implications of current positional truth. Now, if we have died with Christ, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and retroactive positional truth, we believe that we shall also live with him, current positional truth, through the baptism of the Spirit. So retroactive positional truth is identification with Christ in his death and burial through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, unique to us in the church age. Current positional truth is identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Retroactive positional truth means positionally, the power of the sin nature has been broken over human life. Current positional truth means we are now royal family of God, spiritual aristocracy in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, through the baptism of the Spirit. Current positional truth means we are in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Therefore, we are spiritual aristocracy, royal family of God. While the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, he is absent from planet Earth. Therefore, the royal family of God, the body of Christ, that's you and me, the body of Christ, we represent him on planet Earth while he is at the right hand of the Father. During the church age, the royal family of God represents the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth as his royal ambassadors. And that's 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20, which says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us, the royal family of God of the church age, He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We all have a ministry. And that ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. We are all in full-time Christian service. Every one of you, you're just as much in full-time Christian service as I am. Every member of the royal family of God is in full-time Christian service. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So again, during the church age, the royal family of God represents the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth as his royal ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. As the royal ambassadors for Christ, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have the fantastic privilege of representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. During the church age, while Jesus Christ is absent, God has given to us the unique spiritual life, which is designed to produce the character of Christ in us and through us to the world. That's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. And as you live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, that's what's being produced in your life and through you to the world. A second objective of current positional truth is experiential sanctification, and that is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love, brought to completion in our hearts. And that is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That's why we are here. This is the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two. And a third objective of current positional truth is that we share the resurrection life of our Lord Jesus Christ. This resurrection life began at salvation through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth, but it will continue forever as the believer shares eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we move on, we have one more doctrine before we move on. That's the doctrine of current positional truth. One! Okay, have we got... Let's get the paramedics in here. You people have starting to have cardiac arrest there. The doctrine of current positional truth. Point one is definition. Subpoint one, current positional truth is identification with Christ as he is seated at the right hand of the Father in his resurrection, ascension, and session. Current positional truth is identification with Christ as he is seated at the right hand of the Father in his resurrection, ascension, and session. Two, when God takes away the old, that is, we are divorced from the sin nature, the first husband, through retroactive positional truth, he substitutes the new. We are married to the Lord Jesus Christ, the second husband, through union with Christ in current positional truth. So when God takes away the old, we are divorced from the sin nature of the first husband through retroactive positional truth. He substitutes the new. We're married to the Lord Jesus Christ, the second husband, through union with Christ, current positional truth. We are the body of Christ while we're here on earth, but we are the bride of Christ in heaven and forever and ever and ever, the bride of Christ. 3. Retroactive positional truth positionally breaks the power of the sin nature. Retroactive positional truth positionally breaks the power of the sin nature. But current positional truth provides the potential of newness of life. And that is Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that, just as Christ was raised out from the dead ones, resurrection of Christ, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, so also we, the royal family of God, might live in newness of life. So retroactive positional truth positionally breaks the power of the sin nature, but current positional truth provides the potential of newness of life. Romans 6, 4. 4. Current positional truth is the basis for establishing the royal family's personal, unique, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Unique personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Current positional truth is the basis for establishing the royal family's unique personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. 5. Current positional truth is for the church age believer only. Never in the rest of human history, prior to the church age, no believer in Jesus Christ was ever enjoyed retroactive or current positional truth and being in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. It's for the church age believer only. 6. It is accomplished by the baptism of the Spirit, which again is totally unique. The baptism of the Spirit never occurred through previously in human history. It's totally unique to this dispensation. It's totally unique to the church age. And it's sad to say today, but fundamentalism has totally dropped the ball. In fundamentalism, they even stopped teaching, if they ever did teach, the doctrine of dispensational truth. Dispensations is the divine viewpoint of history. Where does the doctrine come from? From the Bible. Now, that's something new for fundamentalism. The Bible. Not commentaries, not anything else, but from the Bible. And if you simply study the scriptures and believe them to be absolute truth, there's the doctrine of dispensation. But it's not being taught anymore. I had a fella came in here, sat in the back row, just over from where Amanda's sitting. And he sat in here, and I was teaching Joel. And he was boy, really going. And then he left. And the next day I got this phone call. Filled up the entire time. And it actually cut him off, finally, thank God. Well, I know you're teaching this dispensational stuff, and well, anybody who has been today studying knows that none of that's true. And he just went on and on and on, and I just wish I had been here to take the call, but I wasn't. He has never come back. I keep looking for him. I'll even give him a booklet on dispensations he can study. But that's where fundamentalism is today. And they don't understand the uniqueness of the church age we're living in. Began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. This is a unique dispensation. This is an intercalation to call out the royal family of God. The body of Christ that it will be the bride of Christ forever and ever and ever. So it is accomplished by the baptism of the Spirit, which is unique to the church age. 7, in union with Christ, we share Christ's perfect righteousness and eternal life. As a result of being in union with Him, we share Christ's perfect righteousness and eternal life in addition to possessing the perfect righteousness and eternal life of the Father by imputation. So in union with Christ, we share Christ's perfect righteousness and eternal life in addition to possessing the perfect righteousness and eternal life of the Father by imputation. You see, every believer in human history at the moment of faith in Christ has received the imputation of the Father's righteousness and eternal life. That's true of all of the family of God. But it's totally unique for us. We have a double portion. We not only have the imputation of the Father's righteousness and eternal life, but we are in union with Jesus Christ and share His perfect righteousness and eternal life as well. 8, therefore, we, you, usins, and weasins, church age believers, royal family, we have a double portion of righteousness and eternal life, making us unique. We have a double portion of righteousness and eternal life, making us unique. Nine, to whom much is given and much has been given to us. To whom much is given, much is expected. And that means much more is expected of us. We are all in full-time Christian service. We are royal priests representing ourselves to God. We are royal ambassadors representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We have been given two unique royal commissions, royal priesthood, royal ambassadorship. All things necessary have been provided to us by the grace and the power of God. Now that's point one, definition. Point two. Current positional truth is related to positional sanctification. Current positional truth is related to positional sanctification. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I love 1 Corinthians chapter 1 because the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Corinth. And you talk about a bunch of believers that have made about every bad decision you can make. They hold the world record. The Corinthians hold the... I know a lot of you thought you hold the world record, but you're not even close. The Corinthians hold the world record for bad decisions. And yet, they are in union with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Current position, you are in union with Christ Jesus. Now that word sanctified. H-A-G-I-A-Z long... Oh, hagiazo. Hagiazo means set apart. We are set apart in union with Jesus Christ through current positional truth. We have been not sanctified, we have been hagiazoed. We have been set apart in union with Christ Jesus. Saints by calling... with all who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And then he picks it up again in verse 30. Verse 30 of chapter 1. But by his doing, God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, current positional truth, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, we have share the righteousness of Jesus Christ as well as the imputed righteousness of the Father, and sanctification and redemption. Sanctification, again, is hagiazo, being set apart in union with Jesus Christ. So the baptism of the Spirit puts us in a permanent, unique, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are hagiazoed. We are set apart forever in Christ Jesus. Point three. Current positional truth is related to God's personal possession forever. And who is God's personal possession forever? You. Every member of the royal family, every church age believer, we are God's personal possession forever. So current positional truth is related to God's personal possession forever. The church age believer, the believers of the royal family. Turn over to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. There's our first royal commission. We have been two royal commissions given to us. We are a royal priest representing ourselves to God, and a royal ambassador representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We belong to God. We are God's personal possession forever. Why? That you may declare the virtues of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. You belong to God forever. You are God's personal possession forever. And why? So that you might proclaim the virtues of the living and true God. Four, the royal family of God is therefore totally unique to all other believers of all time by virtue of current positional truth. The royal family of God is totally unique from all other believers of all time by virtue of current positional truth. Five, current positional truth provides the basis for being a new creature in Christ. And the best way to translate that, we are a new spiritual species. We are a new spiritual species in Christ. We're body of Christ on earth. We're the bride of Christ in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, current positional truth, if anyone is in Christ, current positional truth, as a result of faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Spirit, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come. So, again, verse 8 says, now if we have died with Christ, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, we believe that we shall also live with Him, current positional truth, through the baptism of the Spirit. Now we're ready for verse 9. Knowing that Christ, this is the verb oida plus hati plus the nominative singular of Christos. Oida. O-I-D-A. Oida. Love the verb oida. Oida is a frozen form. It's a perfect used as a present. Oida says you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know Bible doctrine now in the present. And we have hati, oftentimes a causal conjunction. Yes, it is, but not here. Why? Because it's after a verb of decendi. Verbs of decendi, like knowing, thinking, saying. And what is oida? That's knowing. So that's a verb of decendi. And after verbs of decendi, hati introduces an object clause, telling us what they know. It is correctly translated that. And then we have Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. You say, I know, that's Christ. Well, that's transliteration. It's transliterated Christ, but that's not what the word means. The word means the anointed one. This is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which also transliterated Messiah, but it means, translated, the anointed one. So when you say Messiah, it's anointed one. When you say Christ, it's the anointed one. When we have in the scriptures, Jesus is the Christ, it's saying Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the anointed one. So this Christos is the anointed one. But the thing that is very special about this, and this is just the opposite of English. and all of you are English majors, you're right in here in this. In English, if you have the, if you put the, you say that's emphasizing. The Christ. Well, that's English. If you wanted to do that in Greek, you drop off the definite article. There's no definite article. So when you have Christ with no definite article, that's the way you emphasize in the Greek. And that emphasizes the anointed one, Jesus Christ. This is very, very powerful and emphatic. It emphasizes the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to have communion in the next class. And for me, that's the best of the best. I look forward to communion every month. And we only have it nowhere in the Bible it says how often you're supposed to have communion. We have it the first Sunday of each month. So that means we have it 12 times during the year. That's not very many times. But I specifically set it up that way because I wanted it to be something very, very special. And I know there's churches that, there's some churches, they have communion every day. They put wafers and juice and everything out there, and you grab it as you come in, and it doesn't mean anything to them. As I studied and taught 1 Corinthians 11, it's very, very powerful and dogmatic that God set this up for it to be a time of intensified fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. He set it up to be intensified fellowship. Now, I've already taught 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not going to go back and teach it again. But after I studied and taught 1 Corinthians 11, that's where I realized, I want it to be just as the Lord Jesus Christ wanted it to be. Very, very special. A time of intensified fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we have communion today, we will be eating the bread. And that bread represents the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. Different from God in that he is man and perfect man. Different from man in that he is the eternal God. That is what is first of all in that wafer that you will be eating at the communion table. So it emphasizes, no article emphasizes the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it emphasizes Christ as the living and true God. And it emphasizes Christ as the only Savior. And it emphasizes Christ as the Redeemer, the Anointed One, who came to solve mankind's problem of sin. All of those things are there being emphasized by leaving the article out. So, corrected translation, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead. This is the aorist passive participle of agero plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of nekros. Agero. E-G-E-I-R long O. Agero. All right, a couple of things on this verb. One, literally, agero means to wake up. To wake someone up who is sleeping. That's the literal meaning of it. 2. Figuratively, egero means to raise up. To raise up, it is a verb for the resurrection. 3. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be raised up, to be resurrected. To be raised up, to be resurrected. That's the passive voice. 4. It is a verb that teaches the doctrine of resurrection, but specifically here, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the preposition ek. Ek means out from. And then the object of the preposition nekros. N-E-K-R-O-S. Nekros. And nekros is an adjective that means dead. But when it's used as a substantive, as it is in our verse, then it's a noun. You translate it, the dead ones. The aorist tense of egero is a constative aorist, viewing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in its entirety. The passive voice is the voice of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ received the action of being resurrected by the other two members of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The omnipotence of God the Father sent the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven back into his body. The omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit sent his soul from paradise into his body, back into his body. The participle is circumstantial and a causal participle. So you translate it, because he received resurrection. Because he received resurrection. So the corrected translation, knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, or the dead ones, knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, dieth no more. D-I-E, dieth. That's a good wordle word, dieth. You think they'll accept dieth? I don't know if they accept dieth. This is the adverb ukati, and we're going to have ukati used 2 times in this verse. Ukati plus the present active indicative of apothnesko. Ukati is an adverb. Looks like this. O-U-K-E-T-I, ukati. And ukati means no more, no longer, no further. But Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 596, says, in our verse it should be translated, never again. Never again. So that's how we're going to translate it. Old Arntgen Gingrich, they knew a hell of a lot more than I did, see. Never again. And then apothenesco. A-P-O-T-H-N, long E-S-K, long O. Apothenesko. And apothenesko means to die. Here it refers to physical death. So 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of resurrection. 2. He is the first member of true humanity that has been resurrected. And now his human spirit and soul live inside his resurrection body. He is the first member of true humanity that has been resurrected, and now his human spirit and soul live inside his resurrection body. 3, the resurrection body means you can never die again. Ukati apothnesko. The resurrection body means you can never die again. So we have knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, he can never die again. And then we have one more phrase, death hath no more, that's the second use of ukati, no more dominion over him. But we're going to start with that next Sunday. We're going to take a break. Take a break. Give you a chance. Boy, this cold weather. I don't know if I can stand this cold weather. And I've always said, rain is a blessing in the desert. We are being blessed out of our tree, let me tell you. I can't drive up any road. Now, Vanslos, they live on a flood channel. They didn't know it when they bought the place, but they live on a flood channel. If you want to see horrific destruction, go to their house. But we have really been blessed with all the rain in the desert. All right, we'll take our break, come back for communion.